Morning. The Lord be with you. In the absence of the rector this morning, it's my privilege to greet you, and particularly to say to any visitors who are here, you're very welcome. I hope as you leave the church at the end of this service that you'll have a word with either Canon Walter or myself, and hopefully all of us will find this act of worship encouraging to us as we meet together. We pray together, Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear what our Lord Jesus Christ says. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, Jesus Christ, to save us from our sins, to intercede for us in heaven, and to bring us to eternal life. Let us then confess our sins in penitence and faith, firmly resolved to keep God's commandments and to live in love and peace. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we have sinned in thought and word and deed, and in what we have left undone. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may walk in newness of life, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy on you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Amen. Prayer for this Sunday in the Christian year, and also the prayer for St. Simon and St. Jude's Day. Blessed Lord, who has caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning, help us to read them, to read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that through patience and the comfort of your holy word, we may embrace and forever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life, which you have given us in our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. Almighty God, who built your church upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Jesus Christ himself as the chief cornerstone, so join us together in unity of spirit by their doctrine, that we may be made a holy temple acceptable to you, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. Please sit for the reading of the epistle.
Buildings, firm foundations and cornerstones are common biblical images for the community that shares a common faith. Paul uses the metaphor to praise apostles and prophets and to describe Christ himself as the cornerstone on which everything rests. The epistle is from Ephesians chapter 2, beginning at verse 19. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are citizens with the saints and also members of the household of God, built upon the foundations of the apostles and prophets, with Jesus Christ himself as the cornerstone. In him, the whole structure is joined together and grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are built together spiritually into a dwelling place for God. This is the word of the Lord. Amen. Thanks be to God.
Jesus' first and primary witnesses were whom he chose as constant companions. In his last words to them, he encourages them to be distinctive, recognizable as belonging to him, despite the hatred they will have to bear. Hear the Gospel of our Savior Christ according to St. John, chapter 15, beginning at verse 17. I am giving you these commandments so that you may love one another. If the world hates you, be aware that it hated me before it hated you. If you belonged to the world, the world would love you as its own. Because you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, servants are not greater than their master. If they persecute me, they will persecute you. If they keep my word, they will keep yours also. But they will do these things to you on account of my name, because they do not know him who sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would not have sinned. But now they have no excuse for their sin. Whoever hates me hates my Father also. If I had not done among them the works that no one else did, they would not have sinned. But now they have seen and hated both me and my Father. It was to fulfill the word that is written in their law, they hated me without a cause. When the Advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who comes from the Father, he will testify on my behalf. You also are to testify, because you have been with me from the beginning. This is the Gospel of the Lord.
I speak in the name of God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. As I listened to the reading of the Gospel this morning, I was aware of the fact that there are two words there and they're diametrically opposed, one might suggest. Hatred and love. I'm not going to deal with both. In fact, I'm going to focus on the more positive one this morning, and to take words from the beginning of the Gospel, words that keep recurring in St. John chapter 15. This is my commandment, that you love one another. The message in St. John chapter 15, as I've suggested, is all about love. Love is one of the strongest emotions that people can feel, and yet in many circumstances, it can be the most difficult to implement. In one of his many recorded writings, John Wesley, considered to be the founder of Methodism, a Christian denomination with which we have close links, commented as follows: "Love is the sum of our religion. Love is the genuine model of Christianity." In more times than I can count, the command of Jesus to love one another is recorded in the Gospel narrative, and notably also in the first letter of John. Deliberately, near the beginning of the Holy Communion service, we're reminded of the summary of the laws spoken by Jesus: love God, love your neighbour. And then we're encouraged to confess our sins, admitting that all too often we have failed to live in love and peace with one another. Now, that's not rocket science or anything else in recognizing that to be a fact. Jonathan Swift, arguably the most renowned Dean of St. Patrick's Cathedral, Dublin, commented nearly 300 years ago, and I quote him, that we have just enough religion to make us hate. Remember that word kept recurring this morning? But not enough to make us love one another. One of the great historians, Irish historians in the 19th century, William Leckie, whose statue I passed in Trinity College Dublin almost daily on my way to lectures, commented in despair in 1870, and again I quote him, "If the characteristic mark of a healthy Christianity be to unite its members by a bond of fraternity and love, there is no country in the world in which Christianity has more completely failed. than in Ireland. Harsh words. The words of those two distinguished men about the absence of love have been relevant and pertinent in virtually every century in this land of so-called saints and scholars. The majority of the world's great books, plays and films, as well as many great dramas of life, take love as their main theme. In many instances, they can be pessimistic or cynical about the possible triumph of love. Some of them, for example, show love being defeated by tyranny, by separation, yes, by hatred, by jealousy, and by death. A good example is the story of Romeo and Juliet, whose love is frustrated throughout the play by the hatred that existed between their families. And the result was the untimely death of both characters. Sometimes it is the people who love that are themselves at fault. Excessive love of country can lead to fanaticism. Personal love can become very possessive and lead to jealousy and destruction. The New Testament tends to look positively at the beneficial effects of love. It declares that where love is good and where it is backed by faith in God and the hope and courage that comes from him, then love will live and love will survive. In support of this, we find St. Paul claiming love's indestructibility in his famous hymn or poem on faith, hope, and love. That's chosen, incidentally, as some of you may realise, regularly by couples at marriage ceremonies. To summarise, it states that there are three things that last forever: faith, hope, love. But the greatest of them is love. At this point, I digress slightly while continuing to focus on the theme of love, to relate an experience I had yesterday afternoon, shortly after I had completed this morning's address. I was driving to the local rubbish dump in Bangor, not to burn my sermons, but to get rid of household rubbish, with the radio entertaining me in the background, when my attention was drawn to a song composed by the well-known American songwriter John Denver. It was entitled Perhaps Love and contained the following lines, which, having pulled into the side of the road, I wrote on a piece of paper. Perhaps love to some is like a cloud, to some as strong as steel, for some a way of living, for some a way to feel. And some say love is holding on, and some say letting go, and some say love is everything, and some say they don't know. Perhaps love is like an ocean, full of conflict, full of change, like a fire when it's cold outside, or thunder when it rains. As you might guess, I found those lines apt and thought-provoking. But now, returning once more to the Bible, we discover and read in one of John's letters that he dwells extensively on the subject of love, seeing it as something lasting and enduring because it is an attribute that comes from God. God is love, he states, and things that are God's do not come to an end. He develops the theme in a highly critical way when he comments that he who does not know love does not know God. If anyone says, I love God, and does not love his brother, he's a liar, There is no fear in love, for perfect fear casts, for perfect love, should I say, casts out fear. In passages like 1 Corinthians 13 and 1 John the letter, the writer set down philosophical reasons for the eternal nature of love. However, a more simple reason, which is evident in action, is found in the life of Jesus Christ. Throughout his ministry, his love and his compassion for other people is obvious. Through his care, his concern, his healing ministry, and his teaching, time and time again, Jesus displayed love. St. John emphasized the source and significance of that love in chapter 3 of his Gospel, arguably the most quoted words from the Bible. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. The crucifixion may highlight an appalling act of brutality, but it has become the focal point and the source of inspiration for Christians, because that dreadful act of suffering and violence is a symbol of what? It's a symbol of the love of God. Of course, there are many examples, human examples, of sacrificial love, and we'll be reminded of that in 2 weeks at Remembrance Services, when we may hear the words from Scripture, "Greater love has no man than this, that he lay down his life for his friends." The greatest example of sacrificial love is that about which we sing in the Good Friday hymn, "When I survey the wondrous cross," concluding with words that many of us know, "Love, so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all." The Good Friday narrative ends in death, but it is not the final chapter, for Good Friday moves forward to Easter Day. A mystery of faith, but a real mark of faith, is that willingness to accept that the love we have experienced in this life can live on and can be stronger, purer, and richer than it is now. And that is one reason why the most important day in the Christian calendar is Easter Day. Later this week, we celebrate as Christians All Saints' Day. Unfortunately, it is overshadowed in our society and in much of the Western world by Halloween, which coincides here in Ireland with the pagan festival known as Samhain. In fact, the month we call November is known in the Irish calendar as Mi Samhain, the month of Samhain, or November. We should never lose sight of All Saints' Day on the 1st of November, because it acknowledges the fact of the communion of saints and the statement that nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. "This is my commandment, that you love one another." In this service of Holy Communion, we renew our faith in the past, we encourage one another in the present, and we look with trust and confidence to the future. Our Lord's commandment and the summary of the law to love one another is a constant challenge, but it is not an impossible one. And it prompts me in conclusion to suggest to you the following prayer as we try to focus on these words. Lord God, You have called us into the body of your Son, Jesus Christ, to continue his work of reconciliation. Forgive us the sins which divide us, and give us the courage to show that perfect love which casts out fear, which is your gift and your will, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And so to God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit be ascribed as is most justly due, all might, majesty, dominion, power, and glory, henceforth and forevermore. Amen. One of the most important things we do when we come together as a community of faith is to profess our faith and belief in God in the words of the Nicene Creed. We do so together. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, you promised through your Son, Jesus Christ, to hear the prayers of those who ask in faith. Lord of your people, strengthen your church in all the world, especially the church in the province of the West Indies. Renew the life of this diocese in accordance with the wishes of Christ to love one another. May we be a friendly and welcoming church, in particular to those who are newcomers to our congregation. May we always have an open door where everyone feels welcomed, valued, and encouraged. May we be a more effective community of love, committed to living out Christ's command to love one another. Bless Harold, our bishop, and build us up in faith and love. Lord, in your mercy. Lord of creation, look with favor on the world you have made. Guide the nations in the ways of justice and of peace. And bless Elizabeth, our queen, and all in authority. Lord, in your mercy. Lord of our relationships, comfort and sustain the communities in which we live and work, especially those who are endeavoring to improve our environment and to work for the common good. Strengthen us to live out our Christian lives as we face the pressures of each week. Help us to love our neighbors as ourselves. Enable us to serve our families and friends and to love one another as you love us. Lord, in your mercy. Amen. Lord of all healing, relieve and protect those who are sick or suffering. Be with those who have any special need, in particular those for whom life is difficult at this time. We remember those known to us who are ill at home or in hospital, along with those who endeavour to support them. Deliver all who know danger, violence, or oppression. Lord, in your mercy. Lord of eternity, bind us together by your Holy Spirit in communion on this particular day with Saint Simon and Saint Jude, and all who, having confessed the faith, have died in the peace of Christ, that we may entrust ourselves and one another and our whole life to you, Lord God, and come with all your saints to the joys of your eternal kingdom. Lord, in your mercy. Amen. Amen.
We do not presume to come to this your table, merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in your manifold and great mercies. We are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under your table, but you are the same Lord, whose nature is always to have mercy. Grant us therefore, gracious Lord, so to eat the flesh of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, and to drink his blood, that our sinful bodies may be made clean by his body, and our souls washed through his most precious blood, that we may evermore dwell in him, and he in us. Amen. Please stand. Jesus said, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another." The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
You might like to exchange the peace one with the other, and then as the offertory hymn, we're going to sing the words of a hymn which has the ongoing theme of this service, "Come Down, O Love Divine." Lord, yours the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all things come from you, and of your own we give you. Christ, our Passover, has been sacrificed for us. The Lord is here. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Father, almighty and ever-living God, at all times and in all places, it is right for us to give you thanks and praise. In the saints, you have given us an example of godly living, that rejoicing in their fellowship, we may run with perseverance the race that is set before us, and with them receive the unfading crown of glory. And so with all your people, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we proclaim your great and glorious name, forever praising you and singing. Blessed are you, Father, the creator and sustainer of all things. You made us in your own image, male and female, you created us. Even when we turned away from you, you never ceased to care for us. But in your love and mercy, you freed us from the slavery of sin, giving your only begotten Son to become man and suffer death on the cross to redeem us. He made there the one complete and all-sufficient sacrifice for the sins of the whole world. He instituted, and in his holy gospel commanded us to continue, a perpetual memory of his precious death until he comes again. On the night that he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup. And when he had given thanks to you, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink this, all of you. For this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Therefore, Father, with this bread and this cup we do as Christ your Son commanded. We remember his passion and death. We celebrate his resurrection and ascension, and we look for the coming of his kingdom. Accept through him, our great high priest, this our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. And as we eat and drink these holy gifts, grant by the power of the life-giving Spirit that we may be made one in your holy church and partakers of the body and blood of your Son, that he may dwell in us and we in him, through the same Jesus Christ our Lord, by whom and with whom and in whom, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honour and glory are yours, Almighty Father, forever and ever. Amen. As our Saviour Christ has taught us, so we pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. The bread which we break is a sharing in the body of Christ. We being many are one body, for we all share. All who wish to do so from any Christian tradition, if you feel it's according to your own faith, you're welcome to receive Holy Communion in this parish church. Thank you. Let us pray. Lord God, the source of truth and love, keep us faithful to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, united in prayer and the breaking of bread, and one in joy and simplicity of heart. In Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Almighty God, we thank you for feeding us with the spiritual food of the body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. Through him we offer you our souls and bodies to be a living sacrifice. Send us out in the power of your Spirit to live and work to your praise and glory. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, remain with you now and always.
Amen.
Amen. The rector has asked me to mention one or two things this morning. First of all, the November issue of the Columban is ready. If you're accustomed to collecting, for instance, a bundle, you'll find them down near the door. If you're a visitor in particular, or you want one to give to somebody who may be interested, you'll find some at the west end, immediately the west end of the church, and please feel free to take one, or indeed more. The rector has also asked me to mention that the free will offering envelopes are now ready for 2019, well organised as always, and it would be a great help if you could not only collect your own, and they're on the table at the west end of the church, or in addition to that, perhaps, if you see one for a near neighbour, take their one as well and drop it in. It all helps, and it's a classic case of many hands make light work. And the other thing that he has asked me to mention this morning and draw your attention to is the flower evening, which will be at the end of November. The detail is on Pew News, and tickets can be obtained this morning as you leave church, and you're encouraged to support what I am assured will be a very good evening. It's a beautiful day. I hope that we will enjoy it outside at this time of year. Before all that, our final hymn.
Thank you.
Thanks to all of you for participating in whatever way this morning in this service. Now, go in peace to love and serve the Lord.
In the name of Christ, amen.
Amen.